I met this guy, Bryce, probably 20 years ago. He was a student at Marquette, which is a Jesuit university in Milwaukee. I was probably there to give a talk, and we always pick on the Jesuits, incidentally. That's an order famously founded by a guy, St. Ignatius of Loyola, and for some reason, we just had a lot of jokes about Jesuits. And the one mom, her son was sick, and he was dying, and she was really upset about it, so she goes to the Benedictine monastery, and she says, he rings the doorbell, the priest comes out, "Father, if you pray this novena, my son, I mean, he's sick unto death, and if you pray this novena, I'll give you keys to a brand new Mercedes." He's like, "What's a Mercedes?" Well, then she goes to the Franciscan, same scenario, "Father, pray the novena, keys to a new Mercedes." "What's a Mercedes?" Finally, she gets to the Jesuit house, and the priest comes out, and she says, "Please, Father, pray this novena, my son, maybe he'll recover, and here are the keys to a brand new Mercedes." And the Jesuit said, "What's a novena?" Well, anyway, that wakes you up. So Bryce, he started thinking about the Jesuits, and he studied. He thought he'd become a Jesuit priest, and I kept up with him in those years, and they have a very unique way of forming their men for future priests. And one part is this 30 days just living on divine providence. And you're supposed to, you get $25 of emergency cash, but you're supposed to figure out a way just to kind of become a beggar. And so Bryce decided he would walk on pilgrimage from his hometown of St. Paul down to Milwaukee, where he went to college. He'd stop and stay in different rectories. And so he stayed with me a couple of days. And it was a fantastic experience. He wrote a whole, like, 40-page essay on the memoirs, really, of what he experienced. And at one point, he was walking down by Wisconsin Dells, and he saw all these billboards for places of ill repute, gentlemen's clubs, and he was so disgusted. He said, "Man, I ever met the guy that ran those things, I'd give him a piece of my mind." That night he was trying to get to Mass at St. Cecilia, and he was running a little late, so he started hitchhiking, and a car pulls up, and the long and the short of it, it's the guy that owns all those gentlemen's clubs. You just can't make this stuff up. And he found out that the guy, on one level, was one of the most affable, kind, and charitable guys he met along the whole pilgrimage. The mystery of iniquity, right? That we can be good on one level and terrible on another. We can be Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, that the light came into the world and men preferred darkness. And we still do sometimes. That's the mystery of who we could be, like, through grace, and what we'd be without it. And so how did God save us? He gave us a choice. He still does. Every morning, every day, we have to make that choice. If you're married, if you want to love someone, day after day, you ask for the grace, "Help me to be faithful." How did God do it? Well, we see a typology. It's a famous gospel, John 3:16, that Moses raised up this serpent. A strange way to save anybody, but the Israelites had been bitten by snakes, and so Moses was told, "Take a dead snake and knock it on, put it on this tree, hold it up, and they'll be healed." Well, something similar, that we hold up Jesus at the Mass, the deacon and I in the doxology. Through him, with him, and in him. This is how we're saved, not just physically, but spiritually. It's how the whole world has hope, that we hold up not a dead God, but one who can't die ever again. He gave his life, so it's the power of the Mass, the power of his sacrifice. Now, we don't always understand the Mass. If Channel 9 was waiting after Mass and they came up with a microphone and said, "Why do you go to Mass on Sundays?" "Well, I don't know. Mom and Dad make me, I guess. I don't know. It's a little tradition. I don't want to go to hell. Jesus, he said, do this in memory of me." If the Channel 9 asked me, I'd say, "Well, I'm the priest. They pay me a lot to do this every Sunday, so I kind of have to be here." But there's something to be said. If we understood the Mass more, I think we'd embrace it. We'd say it has all these dimensions that are really helpful. For example, it's a memorial. We have to remember who we are as human beings. That's why the first reading Chronicles is talking about how God is faithful and we're not. He establishes a covenant. We say, "I'm all in," and then something comes along that, well, it's easier, more comfortable, and we get compromised, and God tries again and again. The whole history of the Bible is our history. How God is, he never gives up on us, but we would have quit on him, and in fact, we have many times. It's good for us to remember that we need his help, to be faithful, to be constant. We're just not that dependable otherwise. Sometimes we forget how much it cost him to save us. That, well, it is, he had to lay down his life. He had to drink a chalice, that his human nature said, let this cup pass. To remember what he's done for us. Otherwise, we have this kind of amnesia. We just go through the motions, take things for granted. There was an allegory about this kid. He was working his first job, and he spiritually wasn't all that alive. But anyway, he wakes up one night, and he smells smoke, and he tries to get out the front door, but it's hot. And so then he realizes, I live on the first floor. I go out the patio. He thinks, I'm going to survive. And then, lights out, man. He loses consciousness. Everything goes black. And the next thing he knows, he's looking up into the eyes of a firefighter. It takes him a while to realize what just happened, but then he knows, this guy just saved my life. And he gets emotional. And then the firefighter starts talking to him. He says, listen, you might not feel up to it, but there are other people in that building. I'm asking you to help me to get them out. This, of course, like I said, is an allegory. By dying and rising, Jesus pulled us out of the fire. We were lost, and now we've been found. We were dead, and now we can live. He gave his life so that we could have hope. And that's part of the Mass, the sacrifice, what he did for us. We come every Sunday to thank him. Otherwise, we get real petty, and we start to complain, and we say, oh, my life. Well, everybody's life is hard. But the cross sets people free. The mystery of his love in the midst of our pain, amidst of our brokenness, he shows his power. The last part, so the Mass is we're remembering the past, so we know where we came from, remembering what it cost him so that we have hope. Remember that we owe him a gratitude for everything he's done for us. But finally, the communion that we celebrate, something that we sometimes forget. I had to give some talks in Waupaca last week, and a former parishioner is in the veterans home there in King. I'd never been there before, very impressive place. Huge cemetery of all the men and women who served our country. I got to get back and walk through there someday. Anyway, this guy's name is Bob. He's got Parkinson's, and the chaplain there said, could you come and he'd like to see you. Okay. I got there early. We had a really nice chat. He's doing pretty well. And then his daughter brought him to the talks both nights in a wheelchair. And anyway, Friday night, her name is Sister Martha. She called him. She said, Father, ever since your visit, he's doing great. He just talks about it. He's a different man. And that's the one thing that we probably learned from COVID as much as anything, is that we're not meant to live in isolation. We do better when someone else cares about us, thinks about us, loves us. We're meant for communion with God and with each other. When we're cut off from that, oh, all sorts of terrible things happen. You know, that guy Bryce, he never did become a Jesuit. He ended up studying for the diocesan priesthood. And he took the long way around, but he was ordained in 2017. I looked him up to see how he's doing. He's somewhere in the city of St. Paul now. And the thing I want to share is that the guy that he met, I'm sure every time Bryce stands at the altar, he's got that guy in his heart. There was this movie, Forrest Gump, years ago. I don't know if this image will work, but Forrest likes this girl, Jenny. She doesn't like him. Until the very end of the story, she's sick and she's dying. And he's sitting by the bed, and she wants him to just share some of the things that he did in his life. And when he was depressed, he starts running back and forth across the country. And so he describes to her different things that he saw when he was crossing the Southwest, and where you couldn't tell the difference between heaven and earth, when he saw a still lake that was like a mirror. It was so beautiful. He's describing all these things to her, and she interrupts and she says, I wish I would have been there with you. And he stops and he says something very poignant. He says, you were. Because he was carrying her in his heart all those years. And I think of all the times we come to Mass, all the people that don't come, let's bring them here. I stand at this altar over and over again, and there are family and friends and foes that I know won't come. And I shouldn't make them, but I can bring them. The power of the Mass is to remember, God did this for us. He died for us. He gave his life to save us. And we weren't even terribly interested, but now we are. And by his grace, we're set free. The mystery of iniquity. He came as light, we chose darkness. It's a good thing for us he never gave up, and he never will. It's our turn, our time, our chance to do something beautiful for him.